BSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Islamic Republic of Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program, the nuclear watchdog at the United Nations, the IAEA, a meeting in Europe, and a resolution that is very difficult to interpret, which is why I need Andrea Stricker for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a report with her colleagues about what we know about Iran's program and what we don't know or need to know. Andrea, a very good evening to you. And the summary that is published at the FTD, and I thank you very much, I learned that there were questions not answered adequately, but there certainly is a timeline that you provided with your colleagues about how long it would take for Iran to produce weapons-grade material for a bomb. This looks to be not very long. In other words, in 1 month, 2 months, and 3 months. 1 month is 5 nuclear weapons, 2 months is 7, and a total of 8 in 3 months. What are we talking about? That's the material that you would put in a bomb? That isn't the same as a bomb. Is that correct, Andrea? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, that's correct. So Iran has a large stock of enriched uranium at different levels, and they would have to enrich to weapons grade or 90% in order to make the material that goes into these weapons that we talk about. And then after that, they need a further timeline to weaponize it and put it into an atomic bomb. So we're talking about how long it takes to make the weapons grade uranium. And as you said, there's 5 weapons available within a month, enough for 7 and 2 and 8 within 3 months. And then there's an estimated 1 to 2 years to produce a functioning nuclear explosive. Some estimates are that it could be less. It could be more like 6 months to produce a crude device.
We have uranium in various forms of enrichment, 5% and 60%. And those are stockpiled. From those stockpiles, you would proceed to weapons-grade material with what is called a centrifuge. There are a variety of centrifuges mentioned in your report. Forgive me to do fundamentals. It's been some years since I talked centrifuges. There's IR-1s mentioned, IR-2Ms, IR-4s, and IR-6s. Do they become more sophisticated and more powerful as we climb the numbers? Is that how to read this?
That's exactly right. So the IR-1 is the most basic centrifuge. It's based on an old Pakistani design, in fact. And then as the numbers grow, IR-2M, IR-4, IR-6, those become more advanced and more efficient. So they separate uranium quicker and in greater amounts. So that's the way to think of it exactly.
I remember pictures from more than a decade ago when Ahmadinejad, the provocateur, was president of Iran. And I remember him in a photograph touring something that was described as a centrifuge. I don't remember where it was. It was either a secret site or something that had been revealed. Do we know where all the centrifuges are today? Does the IAEA know, and does it watch them?
We have an understanding of the ones that they have installed at their declared enrichment facilities like Natanz and Fordow. And then there's also a pilot plant at Natanz. So the IAEA has a good inventory of the ones that it has installed and deployed, but it doesn't have an understanding of how many Iran may have stockpiled, even ones that Iran may have put at a secret site, for example. And that's the fear that without this type of more rigorous monitoring, inspections, cameras at such sites where you make the centrifuges, that Iran could only need to divert a few hundred, maybe 600 to 700 of these machines in order to conduct a breakout to nuclear weapons fairly quickly.
When we spoke before, there were 2 or 3 sites that suggested that Iran had been moving from 60% towards 90. Did the IAEA provide explanations for those sites?
Right. So last January, the IAEA detected particles of near 84% enriched uranium at the Fordow site, which is deeply fortified and underground. That's concerning because it apparently looked like Iran was experimenting with going near to weapons-grade uranium and may have gotten caught by the agency. So Iran said that this enrichment was due to unintended fluctuations, and the IAEA has been investigating. And it says, well, Iran's explanation is not inconsistent with the supporting information that Tehran provided. So they can't really make an assessment about whether Iran is lying. They simply report this information to member states, and then member states have to decide what to do about it.
Cameras. I get lost. There are cameras, but there are places where the cameras have been removed or threatened to be removed. And there's film or something that the IAEA is suspicious about. Where are the cameras and where aren't they?
The cameras are in general at sites where Iran makes nuclear material. So enrichment facilities, likely the uranium conversion facility. And Iran stopped the recording of cameras at all its nuclear related sites like centrifuge manufacturing sites and uranium mines. And it stopped that in June 2022. But before that, it had stopped giving over the footage and any data related to other monitoring devices to the IAEA. So since February 2021, the IAEA has no idea what Iran has been doing at these sites. It also can't visit a lot of them anymore because this falls under the additional protocol. That's an enhanced IAEA agreement. So the IAEA is really concerned, I think, and is voicing its concern to member states that it doesn't have an inventory of these advanced centrifuges. And so diversion becomes a real troubling possibility.
And there is something suggestive in the report that I've read that there are unknown sites. Is that correct? How many unknown sites where the IR6 could be operating?
Well, we don't know anything about any secret enrichment sites. There is one at Natanz that is in the mountains that they're building. And there's concern that they could create a secret enrichment facility or something that they wouldn't declare to the IAEA until the last minute, and that this would be inaccessible to any type of military strike because it's so deeply buried and fortified. That's all we know about for now, unless our intelligence people have more information that we do not.
What does the IAEA want to know from Iran that was not adequately provided at the meeting earlier?
Well, the IAEA wants to know more about the undeclared nuclear weapons work that it's been investigating for more than 4 years. You recall the Israelis seized an archive of nuclear-related information from Iran that proved that it had a nuclear weapons program prior to 2004 and then undertook an effort to hide it. So the IAEA has been investigating four sites, and it found uranium particles at three of them. It still remains interested in two of those sites, and it has made no progress on those. And at the other two sites, it frankly found that Iran was conducting nuclear weapons-related work in the past. So I think what we're facing here is, well, what are we doing? You know, what is the IAEA's goal of its investigation? And is Washington and Europe going to support a deeper investigation to determine whether these nuclear weapons-related activities continue? It looks like with the board meeting this week, they decided to kick the can down the road.
However, at the same time, we have to ask about our European allies. Were they also impatient for clarity from Iran? They're still in the JCPOA. Did they comment afterwards?
I believe the British had a statement where they said, if there's not progress by the next board meeting, which is around September, that maybe they will think about going to the UN Security Council for countermeasures that would entail the reimposition of UN sanctions against Iran. But, you know, they never really hold Iran's feet to the fire, and they keep getting off with just a little bit of cooperation at the last minute.
Andrea Stricker is Deputy Director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy's Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program and an FTD Research Fellow. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.